Hi, everybody. Welcome to my show. This is Inspired Radio, and I'm Helen Taylor. Tune in every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and the US for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to 200 plus outlets worldwide. I'm just going to get into things today. We're just going to get straight into it and give us all the time that we can with Donna and Peter. My guests here today are Donna and Peter from Corruption Whistleblower, and they're back with something fantastic and explosive to announce. Last we spoke, which was back on the 13th of May, not so long ago, they revealed their controversial 400-page affidavit, arguing Australia became a sovereign nation in 1919 under the Treaty of Versailles, making the current government and banking structures unlawful under international law. That's pretty explosive all on its own. So, welcome to Donna and Peter. Thank you so much for being back on the show and sharing whatever it is you're going to reveal today.
And thank you very much, and thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Helen.
You're
And yeah,
welcome.
we did want. And it is an exciting time. We've definitely discovered some new information that we have never heard before. And Peter and I will be unpacking the information about the Constitution. But just before the Constitution, the 1899 referendum that supposedly gave permission for the Constitution to be enacted, but that's only a part of the document that we're getting ready, which is an endorsement for Peter and ours, which means and anyone who wants to sign on to
Yep.
endorse us to go to the International Criminal Court and present this information and have our current occupying regime addressed on an international stage. So I can just I'll just share this document that we are
Basically, you're
looking
going to
at.
go to The Hague and put the facts that you've uncovered in the form of an affidavit to them and ask them to investigate.
Very much, and we are very much looking for elders, the aborigines, people born on this land to have a look at this document. And then there will be another type of document that gives voice to the people from the international community that can see this error as well, and there'll be a supporting document for them to write on as well. So we're looking at the domestic people, the people who are born here, to have a look at this document, which is not quite ready yet, but we're well on our way, as you can see. We'll be launching a new website called UCSA, which is United Civilians of Sovereign Australia. So it's called UCSA.land, and that
Okay.
is being built as we speak. You're one of the first people, Helen, for us to explain this to. So I'll hand over to Peter and he can start running through the document.
And so, just before we start, I just want to let people know because I may ha have a question in relation to the evidence. So, this document here we're running through is the endorsement document. It's got the bones of the argument in there because obviously we can't expect people to read, the 400-page or 150-page affidavit with evidence, which is the facts to show that there's no law here valid in Australia. And then there will also be another maybe 150-page document, which will be the crimes they've committed against all the people. And then there'll be another book called, which will be the solutions. So this one here is a draft copy of the endorsement by however, it is not the final copy. We're just sort of doing a little bit of a pre-launch with you, Helen.
Thank
But the document will be up on the web page sometime in the next 10 to 14 days, maybe early, but we'll say 10 to 14 days for people to go on there and read it. And if they believe in it, then they sign it, and then they become one of the annals. They become one of the filers into the International Criminal Court. Because as I said to you earlier, it's no point, just Donna and I filing this thing, because they're going to say, well, why aren't the other people filing in here? Why, well, it's just used to saying it, which is, I learned that
Well,
from the.
can I just say something there? I mean, this whole world is about energy and where you're giving focus to your energy. So you're putting your energy towards this. This is creating the new world right now. right?
Oh,
And
that's so right.
you're asking for everyone's collective energy, people out there, instead of looking at the system and trying to fight the system and focus on all that sort of stuff. Please redirect your energy and support people like Peter and Donna, and that collective energy is absolutely going to make change.
Well, it's the difference between two people filing or 500,000 people filing. Now, if 500,000 people are on the and ors, the or the others that's short for, then the ICC and the ICJ will have pretty well no ability to knock it back because it's an overwhelming submission, and they will highly likely, and we're told that they will, if we get those sorts of numbers,
Pay
give.
attention.
And not just pay attention, administer the orders that are in this document.
Okay.
So it is a very controversial document, sort of dangerous in a way for us, but it is what it is. When it's like Jody Lowe said, if not who, then who? If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? And the time is now.
Yes. Yes, agree. So you've got the affidavit that we talked about last time, but this is the endorsement that goes along
Correct.
with the affidavit. And I just want to put out there once again that you have the evidence to back this up.
Absolutely. We have the evidence that there's no evidence of the crimes, and we also have the evidence of the solutions. And the solutions are mind-boggling, really, in relation to the making this nation a full-blown prosperous nation. And as we spoke earlier today, if we're just talking in diesel terms, and we can manufacture all our diesel here, we're consuming about 100 million litres of diesel a day. And like I said, if we just for discussions, we said that was a dollar a litre, that means we're exporting $100 million every single day for our diesel. And that should be running our own circular economy and boost this nation. And absolutely, there's a massive job creation. And royalties can come back here instead of going offshore and all those other things like the other countries, Norway and quite a number of the other ones that, get paychecks every year
The
for
mining royalties
yeah.
for everyone who was born on the nation.
Well, and for
So.
everybody listening out there, Peter has personal experience. He's just not throwing up diesel and facts and figures. He personally knows about that industry and is in influential and in making a change there. But what you're talking about is that we all know, and this is what we said earlier, in our generation, our government has sold all of our resources offshore, and you're talking about we need to start getting them back.
Well, just the royalties for the people at a minimum,
Yep.
or like we discussed earlier, value adding the product. Why are we sending our raw materials, i.e., iron ore, overseas when we could be smelting it here, potentially using a large amount of solar or potentially free energy systems that are coming to the forefront? And why are we sending our real baseline raw products to then bring them back from China or other countries in the world who are
Absolutely.
processing it? It's just, it's a
Absolutely.
mental retard game. Yeah.
Yes, it makes no sense at all for our country and the people of the country. Once it's in front of you, you have to pay attention and start asking questions, don't you?
It only makes sense for the for-profit criminal cartel that we're currently occupied by. That's what it makes sense for, their profit and their unlawful deals. And we know we've got 100% Aborigines backing us in regards to that. We know that the Australian government isn't occupying foreign, militant, horrendous regime that is pillaging our nation and our people on pretty much every level that you look at.
And it's
And
abuse.
it is. It's definitely
On
is.
every level.
And they give us breadcrumbs, and withhold the smorgasbord that is rightfully ours. So, let's stop settling for breadcrumbs. We've got a civil pathway that we wanted to go forward with this document going into the international court to get a ruling, and we'll go through what those rulings are. And because we want to prevent a civil upheaval here and everything being destroyed and not don't want to have to do it that way.
Well, don't
There's some.
wait until the breadcrumbs are taken away, because at some point
That's
they're going to be, right? So people step
right.
up, sit up and listen, because we need to take some action here. And I know
Yeah.
everybody out there is, they've got lots of opinions and lots of things to say, but we're asking you to put that into action, because it really becomes meaningful.
And everything that we've got here is fully evidence-based. It's not just us saying it, and we just don't think it. Everything that's in this document has got full prima facie evidence, historical evidence, and written in there in all different documents and Hansards and everything like that to absolutely prove beyond a shadow of a doubt what we're saying is true and correct.
Excellent.
So we can just run through it if you want.
So this is, as you can see here, this is a witness victim endorsement for the filing of the criminal complaint against the Australian government and their officialdom into the ICC and ICJ in 2026 by the United Civilians of Sovereign Australia of the unincorporated independent nation state. And I'm sure that all the listeners will agree, Australia is a crime scene in a national crisis. So here you can see, because I have to go over there and file it myself, it's not a matter of filing it, electronically, because that's not going to work. And many people have tried to file into these places and it falls on deaf ears. We're going to go over with a small number of people, and there's a large number of people going to be meeting us over there. So ours are all the people that are going to sign this form. So it's not just me saying it. Representing the United Civilians of Sovereign Australia of the unincorporated independent nation state. Now we can't be citizens or
Subjects.
subjects. We are civilians. So it's versus the Australian government, federal and state, and their officialdom in their individual capacity in the criminal enterprise of a widespread attack on a civilian population. This endorsement submission is made under the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, entered into force on the 1st of July 2002. As civilians, we claim protection under international law. And so we run through the Rome Statutes, which it is. So the Rome Statute.
We'll just skim through this if you want, because we'll want to get to the constitutional stuff. So yeah, these are the articles basically that we just put a little bit of explanation under them. Article 5, Article 25.
No, sorry, just go back there. It's Article 5, which names them, which is, just go back for a sec, please, which names the crimes which come under the Rome Statute, which is crimes of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression. And we all know, I'm sure we can all pick out things that amongst those things, amongst those articles, what they've done to us. And Article 25 is individual criminal responsibility, which is also in the Rome Statute. So we're not only going after them, we're going after basically in the same capacity as the what's it called? I've slipped my mind.
Sorry, does that
The in relation to, following
Nuremberg?
orders won't release you from what you criminally did.
Yes. The Nuremberg
The
stuff.
Nuremberg trial, sorry, forgive me, I
Well,
slipped my
it
mind. So
said you're going after the individuals. Yes, that's
absolutely.
right.
Absolutely.
For the harm they've caused, that's right. And as you sign on to this document, we've and when we do actually submit it, then you become we become protected people under international law. And this is something that's a little bit different about this document. When you do sign on it, there is international protections because we call ourselves civilians, because that's what we are on the independent sovereign nation state. We are civilians. Therefore, we get international protections against the current occupying foreign regime.
But remembering also that we're dealing with a terrorist organization, so we don't know how they're going to act on this. But however, we just keep moving forward in a peaceful manner and see what comes of it. Can we go just down a little bit there,
Yeah,
please?
cool.
This document is going to activate that protection.
That's correct.
Yeah, it does.
But once again, you're dealing with Alibaba and the 40 thieves, so we don't know, and we don't know what the outcome of that is, if they're going to look at it and go, well, yeah, you are protected. But I believe that once it's filed, and it's got a stamp on it, then they'll really recognize it. They won't see it as gobbledygook, because that's what the police do. You go to give them a document, they go, "I'm not reading that." But when you say, "Well, this thing's been filed and you're on it," then it starts to become, even in Australian law, if you've got a court case going on here and you go out and harass the witness or harass the plaintiff or something like that, then that is contempt of court, which carries another whole heap of
So I see, I hear what you're doing now, because there's a lot of different groups out there that are filing paperwork to the systems and the Attorney General and, all different sort of departments. But what you're saying is a lot of people are really sort of putting that to the police or putting it to a court here, and it's not being recognised at all. But what you're doing is having it recognised at The Hague, with the
Correct.
International Court, and it'll have a seal and it'll have a case number or whatever.
Yes.
And that then has clout. That then
That's right.
is paperwork that has to be recognised.
That's right. Because we all have filed enough stuff and sent letters that into our governments and stuff that they just, well, we have a joke about it. They got a paper log making machine. I don't know if you've ever seen them. You get all your newspapers and you can make logs out of them to burn in the fireplace. That's what I believe they're probably doing with all the paperwork that we've sent them. And our courts don't recognize any of what we're saying. They, brand us, slander us, and call us sovereign citizens when we're just whistleblowers.
Well, and now we know that even I was talking to someone the other day. He was just renewing a gun license and had to sit the course. And in the course, the officer that was actually in charge of it all asked anybody if they were a sovereign citizen to put their hand up. And nobody put their hand up. And so after that, he then declared, he said, we have instructions that any of these groups that are calling themselves that, and we've got the links to them, we've got the names for them, we're removing their gun
They
licenses.
sure are.
And what I understood, though, is that a lot of the government and bureaucracy are being trained to look out for certain words and certain language. And that either puts people who are questioning the narrative and questioning what's going on with our country under one of two banners. You're either a sovereign citizen or you've got mental illness of some sort.
That's right.
So we need something that's recognized at a high level.
You're spot on, Helen. That's right. So we're going to their bosses, basically. We're going to get an order from their bosses. And the truth is that they really don't practice international law or abide by the treaties on this domestic in the domestic courts,
At that level.
because that the judicial have not integrated it into the current law, despite it being ratified and gone through the parliament. See, the judiciary are just doing their own thing separate from that and haven't acknowledged the international rights. And
They're protecting the system.
yes, that's right. So we can't go to any court here. Can't go to the High Court. We've tried. Adam Griffin won't let anything into the High Court. You ask him, he'll tell you. You can't go to any of the other courts, because of course they want to keep their criminal cartel in place. So we have to go outside. Now, I believe that Albo has already had some international court dealings by using the taxation funds to fund foreign wars. So he's already got his name up on ICC. So we are most definitely bolstering that and saying, yeah, it's not just him, it's the whole lot of them. It's the government and their officialdom that are, stealing our children, raping and pillaging our lands and us.
Our resources and stealing our money.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we'll move on to Article 68, and you can clearly see here it says the court shall take appropriate measures to protect the safety, physical and psychological well-being, dignity and privacy of victims and witnesses. And everybody who signs this thing becomes a witness to the crimes here. We're not saying everybody's going to get called up by any means, but what it does is, because we'll be there to articulate what's going on here with the affidavit of the crimes and also the solutions. They're not going to let this thing go unless there's a solution here, and we'll be asking
the court to potentially, we don't know where it's going to go yet, to appoint the people in a in an interim government
Okay, yes.
that have put the most into community work. Like you look at this, there's 10 or 15 groups around the country that have thrown 5 or 10 years of their hard life for free at trying to recorrect the system.
Yep.
That's their credibility.
Yes.
That's their credibility to say, look, these people are going the extra mile for 5 to 10 years, 3 years, 4 years. They've thrown everything they can at it. That's their credibility. And once we get an interim government, because that'll happen sooner or later, because the population's waking up, but this is a full-blown criminal cartel. And once we get that, then we can hold elections through the voting app, which has already been built, the blockchain voting system, that's ready to go. And we can basically hold elections every month. You won't be able to, you won't be charged if you don't vote. Just means you don't care about the nation. And we can soon, create laws that are backed by a government of we the people, or the people's government for the people. So the interim government won't be able to do anything without the approval of the people. They just have to download the application, the blockchain voting application. And there's a number of other very good things that come along with that, but we won't be discussing that
Oh
on
my
this call.
gosh,
So
I'm just seeing this bigger picture at the moment, right? There's all these groups that have been setting up, like you're saying, for the last 4 or 5 years or even up to 10 years, boots on the ground trying to figure out how to create the new, how to create it, right? So there's pieces of the puzzle all over the place, right?
correct.
All sorts of
But
pieces. Everybody thinks they're finding the way or the right way or whatever it is, right? But once you file this and it is recognized, it's like all those other pieces of the puzzle are all going to come together.
they are. That's everything's vital because we can then say, look how many times the Australian government has been warned, fiduciary duties, everything that Ramona's doing, on and on again, all the people that have sent their notices into the government and
Yes.
into the local council, they know, they're all well aware of what's going on. I'd love to read this brief, this summary to you about
Please.
what this is about.
Yep.
So it's a brief summary of certified and verifiable evidentiary cause of action, but it's not limited to just this. So the Australian government and state governments, along with their officialdom, have conspired with the royal family and the United Kingdom parliaments, which retains exclusive title over the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900 UK. It's an act of the United Kingdom Parliament. So collectively, they enforce a foreign occupation of British territorialist dictatorship governing system via a maladministration that lacks accountability, yet is disguised as a democracy. And this system is weaponized against the sovereign civilians and others within this sovereign Australian independent nation state. It causes harm, fear, terror, and ongoing intimidation. This includes, but is not limited to, criminal actions of human and child trafficking, murder, slavery, torture, trespass, embezzling and plundering individuals and national assets, and all at the threat of gunpoint, with the potential of incarceration of the civilians if we do not fully comply.
Absolutely. Well said.
So, well, that's just a summary of it. They come into
Yes.
your house, the cops and child protection, they're just going to take a child at the threat of arrest or gunpoint. They will hold the family down and take the screaming children out of the door, and often never to be seen again, all on hearsay, gossip reports, and nothing
Yes.
even in court. I mean,
Yes.
this is tens of thousands a year, and an accumulating year after year, because there's less than 1% returns. They might say that they're not in the care of child protection anymore, but that just means they've shoveled them off to one of their many octopus arms. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've gone back to the family and everything's honky dory back at home. So they only get paid when the child stays out of the original home. So that's just one aspect of how they come in and can take your children, take your home. So, and this is the evidence that we've found.
Well, just one statement, guilty until proven innocent now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll take your children, and you have to fight to prove that where and then that none of their evidence has to get held up in court. They perjure themselves in court. And Helen, we are about to tell you why they get away with all this perjury. They don't seem to come under the rule of law. We are about to unpack why and how they have sworn on to have that non-accountability. Yeah, they're just not accountable.
Yep, go ahead
So
then. Go ahead.
the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900 can only be invalid and void ab initio, which means void at the beginning. When it was first started, it's void ab initio. It's redundant and defunct. Australia is currently administered by a foreign occupying domestic terrorist criminal cartel, the Australian government, and their officiatdom, and trapping and terrorising the uninformed sovereign civilians of Australia, not sovereign citizens. We're not sovereign citizens.
I noted that.
We're civilians of this sovereign independent nation, which is an internationally recognized independent nation state with its own personality since, like we were saying before, 1990, and then again 1945, and that's in their paperwork. So what happened is they had the draft bill to constitute in 1899. So they sent it around to all the different states. They did round one, and people are going, no, we don't want to. Round one was like in about 1887, and they're like, no, we don't want to. Hardly anyone voted.
1892.
1892, was it?
Yeah.
Right back then. So they've been trying to do this for a while. Then it got to like about 1895, 1896. They did another round, all the individual states. Well, guess what? They literally had 10% of the population vote yes to constitute. So out of 3.77 million, only 1.2 million were even allowed to vote. So if you were Aboriginal, can't vote. Almost all the women couldn't vote, had to be a land holder, couldn't be poor, can't vote, had to be on the electoral roll, all these very stringent voting compliances to even be allowed to vote. So they finally drew the best they could do was 10% of the population said yes to constitute. 371,000 said yes to
But don't
constitute.
forget, it was 30% of the eligible electors, but it's still only 30%.
But
Still only 30%.
their behaviour's never changed because,
That's right.
I know that throughout my lifetime, I've looked at government wanting to implement certain things and putting it out there to the public and getting a pushback, no matter what it was, whether it was about having to get a water tank, registration for it in your backyard, to, things on the bigger playing field, things, big changes to our country. All the time, they've disclosed it, got pushback or no, and then they've gone ahead anyway. So
Yes.
been doing it way back since then.
That's right. So, besides them originally being trespassing on this, it's not terra nullius, now we know, besides the original trespass, now we've got this, okay, 10% said yes. So, many voters said no and many weren't permitted to vote. So, it's not this, because there was always this, oh, the people voted it all in. Oh, it's the people. No, they
Yes,
didn't.
yes.
Let's just get that first point right. And I'll let Peter go on to the second point. Because they did a few changes to the old 1899. It's called a bill to constitute. So
Okay.
let's talk about some of the few changes that they did. So after we didn't even really voted to say yes, they send it over to the UK. And so I'll go down. Do you
No,
want to go up
but
higher and read that part first?
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do it.
So,
Go on.
number six of this document here, the 1899 bill to constitute the Commonwealth of Australia was amended with significant changes. So, after it was approved here by the 30% of eligible electors, it was then sent to the UK. And then, during its passage through the Parliament of the United Kingdom, they breached contract law and international law and committed fraud in the factum. That's actually what it is called when you alter a contract after one party signed it. The words, "This act shall bind the crowns," was removed, and it would have enforced the expressed accountability of the Crown and the Australian government, who swear allegiance to it, past and present, to the same foreign occupying Crown. So basically, when you remove "act binds the Crown," it's implicit. It means that it's absolute. And what they've done in this act, and we've gone to section nine here, you can see these are extracts from the draft bill, which was approved by the electors. And you can see here, in 1899, the draft bill to constitute the Commonwealth of Australia from the original covering clause to approved by a limited number of electors in 1899, showing this act shall bind the crown. And here's the extract below. If you can see it here, see where it's underlined in red, says this act shall bind the crowns.
Sorry.
But what else does it say? Just hang on a second. You're going to have to go back to it.
Yeah, no, I just got to scroll down a bit. It's just making it a bit bigger. Let me just make it a bit bigger.
Yeah, this act shall
I can
bind
see
the
that. Yeah.
crown and its provisions. Now, I want you to listen carefully. And its provisions referring to the Queen shall extend to Her Majesty's heirs and successors in the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. Right now, that was in 1899. That was sent over there. But when it came back, what does it say? The next section two in part 10. Act to extend to the Queen's successors. But what they see how they've removed this act shall bind the crown. In this one here, it says the provisions of this act referring to the Queen shall extend to Her Majesty's heirs and successors in the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. So what that does is that change it from binding the crown to inferring. So it's not explicitly said, which allows for
so it
interpretation.
It allows wiggle room, right?
It allows wiggle room. So now what we're looking at is it's up to the judges to say whether it binds the crown or not. It doesn't
it's
expressly
open,
say it.
Open to interpretation.
Yeah, but
correct.
Don't worry. They've kept their sovereignty and continuity of power. That's what they made sure they kept it. The continuity of power, so you can extend to heirs and successors. So they've kept the continuity of power aspect.
Yes.
In the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. So they've removed the
accountability.
You know, the six expressed words saying that they had to be held accountability, because otherwise it becomes an asymmetrical contract.
Yeah.
We're bound to it, but they're not.
They've written themselves out. So this is why they're so hell-bent on swearing all their allegiance to the crown, as they do, as they very well do, swear their allegiance to the king and everything, who have got another set of interests, of course, than what we have here. So it gives them their out. That's why they all perjure themselves in court and there's, oh, well, you know, we're that. So they've written this constitution, they're outside of the constitution, but we're all bound to it.
But we didn't agree to that, because it's
No.
like saying, okay, I'm going to buy a Toyota Land Cruiser. It comes with warranty. I want it yellow and I want it with a V8 engine. When it turns up, it's white and it's got no warranty. You just wouldn't take the thing. You just would
well,
not take a car that's got no warranty.
I just hope right at the moment that people listening, you got light bulbs going off. Like, come on.
This is why.
Yes.
That's not the only change, Helen. They did other changes as well. They changed the contract by about 10%. Enough that it should have been put to another referendum. So we can confidently say that no one has voted for the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900 and Act of the UK. That's beside it only being used for 20 years, and by the time it got to the Treaty of Versailles, we were classed as an independent nation state anyhow. So that's besides that.
But in particularly, we've agreed to a vehicle or we've agreed to a instrument that has limited warranty. But the one that we voted for has expressed implicit warranty. The contract's dead. And no one's voted for this second thing that came back after its alteration.
Yep.
So we now know, and like I say to the constitutionalists, you have to eat humble pie. We've put out newspapers talking about the constitution, and we were right, and the constitutionalists are right. But now what they need to do is go back and have a look at it and see that the whole contract's been broken.
Well, the
right
evidence, the evidence is telling a very different story.
Correct.
That's right. That's
correct.
Right. Besides them being trespassers on, you know, and it wasn't terra nullius, besides all of that, which is all valid arguments, this actually shows the flaw in the contract as well. I tell you, the originees are going to love this stuff, because it, again, shows how it's a null and void, yet all of our rules are made under it. They all swear allegiance to it. You know, it goes on and on and on. This is the reason why they're here. So that's why we're calling them trespassers. They're not
well,
only...
when this is revealed, the emperor really does have no clothes on.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
they've come into this country with, a cloak of regalness and whatever.
We're here to help. We're here to
Yes.
help.
Yeah.
We're
And
here to help.
underneath they had nothing on, right? And this is just taking the cloak off and revealing that they had no standing.
This is what we want to take overseas. This is what we want to take outside this incestuous play pit that they've made here. And we want to take it to their bosses and say, well, look, guys, this is all trespass. This is, they've changed the contract, right? It's void ab initio.
We'll just explain this a little bit more, and I'll get you to read out 11 and
Want me to
12.
read that one
Yeah.
out? Removing this act shall bind the crown, and being silent on binding the crown allows for crown privileges and the imbalance of no expressed statement that binds the crown, granting the deliberate preservation of crown immunity that leads those who swear allegiance to the crown to share in that same unlawful immunity. So the crown retains continuity of sovereign reign with immunity and without accountability, just like the governments that swear their allegiance
And you
to
can
it.
see it today.
Yeah, it's
It's still.
asymmetrical. It's
As soon as they swear their allegiance, they've got the same immunity.
Absolutely.
So, it's a null and void contract, and that's the big news that we've never heard anyone say or anyone even look at. We love the constitutionalists. We love that they're in boots and all, but they've got to go back just before that, a few years before the constitution, just go back a little bit in time and see that the whole constitution is null and void
Well,
and
those people
defunct.
have been implemental in unpacking all of this stuff. And as we
For
unpack,
sure.
we start to get new insight, don't we?
Correct. Yeah, because this amended version, as it says in point 12, was never put to a referendum by the Australian people, meaning that the political and legal system under which Australia is currently governed has no validity in lawful, is no valid lawful standing. It is without the informed consent of the Australian civilian people, both back in 1900 and now. So we're evidencing that it's disguised as a democracy. It's a dictatorship disguised as a democracy, and they're taking advantage and keeping us uninformed as well, and keeping this charade going. So we're blowing the lid off. We're pulling back the curtain on the crazy little man from Oz. They're spinning wheels and pressing buttons. We're pulling back the curtain and showing him. And what you'll also see under when you pull the curtains back is that we've got the federal parliament swearing an allegiance to a queen of Australia, which there's no office or no crown for, and you've got the state's letters patent from 1986 and which were revoked in 1986 under the Australia Act with an allegiance to the to Her Majesty the King of the a Queen of the United Kingdom, or now the King of the United Kingdom. So you've got one, the federal swearing an allegiance to Queen of Australia, and the other one swearing an allegiance to Queen of England. I mean, the people overseas are just going, what is wrong with these Australians? Can't they see it? No, because we're all too busy, living the life that we should be able to afford. But why we haven't been paying attention, these rogue terrorists, and I will call them terrorists because they are, that have removed, our rights to this nation's wealth, our rights to liberty, our rights to freedom, and our rights to prosperity.
And our rights to get together in groups and discuss this, they've even impinged upon rights like that. We should have the freedom of association to go in and discuss this stuff, but we can't get together in groups. They want to come and break us all up again, throw us in jail, all that kind of stuff. So, we are pressing forward with this, and it feeds into what we were discussing last time, which, as we get to 1919, all of the soldiers and service men and women that died for our independent freedom need to be acknowledged. And that's another thing I'll say to the constitutionalists. Let's stop with the constitutional stuff, because we had 61,720 servicemen and women and 155,000 wounded for us to be a free independent nation state, which was granted to Australia, this on this landmass known as Australia. New Zealand was also granted to Canada, but for some reason, they're not seeing that. So we do hope that they can see that as well and apply this to their nation too.
But
Well,
under
Canada and
internet,
Australia are very much on par, aren't we? We're both prison camps.
well, they have a Queen of Canada, and New Zealand has a
Seen
Queen
that
of
too, yeah.
a Queen of New Zealand. But however, the point I wanted to say about what happened in the First World War was that all the prime ministers who signed the League of Nations or the Treaty of Peace, one of which was the United Kingdom Parliament, and the King is subordinate to the United Kingdom Parliament under the Act of Settlement. So they signed the Treaty of Peace. And at Section 10 of the Treaty of Peace, which is just under here, says that the Constitution can't be used here in thereabout terms. And if we can read Article 10, it says the members of the League, and the Australian Prime Minister went there and signed it, the United Kingdom Parliament signed it. And like I said, the King is subordinate to the United Kingdom. It's a myth that the King is standing over the United Kingdom Parliament, because it's just
Okay.
not fact at all.
Right.
The members of the League undertake to respect and preserve against the external aggression, or the preserve against the external aggression, the territorial integrity, and the existing political independence of all the members of the League. So that's basically saying the British territorialists can't have any law here. The Constitution's not allowed to hear since 1919.
Because
Because
it's
it's
from a
not
foreign
British.
country. It's from the UK. It's from, the King Charles. Where was he born? Not here. He's not
Well,
our king.
it's saying that every country that's signed into there has the power to do something about external aggression, no matter Well, they're
where
saying it's
it's
to
from.
respect and preserve against external aggression. And this is what we got here, with every police officer wearing that crown badge on our streets. And unfortunately, there are some good ones, minimal. They are minimal. The rest are just truly aggressive animals, you know. And when they come up to you for a driving offence, what happens? You're sitting in the car, and what do you see when you look at them? Their gun. So they're at your window with a gun facing you, and you're like, well, if I don't do what this guy's going to do, it's a mental threat to have that gun in your face,
Well, even in
for.
our generation, they've gone from being helping the people Yeah. and keeping the peace, so to speak, to really just being bullies.
Well, it's turned from a police service to a police force.
Right.
That's the
Oh,
problem.
that's a better way
So
of putting everything that happens that we do is at the threat of gunpoint. They come and
it.
take your children at the threat of gunpoint. They want to kick you out the house at the threat of gunpoint. They want to pull you over on the side of the road at the threat of gunpoint and arrest. Everything's at the threat of gunpoint and arrest if we don't comply with their regime. So.
Absolutely. And I just want to make a note in Article 10 here. In the case of any such aggression, or in the case of any threat or danger of such aggression,
Council
the
shall
Council
report.
shall advise upon the means to which this obligation shall be fulfilled. Now, this is where the League of Nations failed in its obligations under international law to prevent World War II, and this is where the United Nations came and took over and adopted all those clauses into its charter. And we can see that the charter at Article 2, paragraphs 1 and 4, basically, not basically, absolutely says the same thing. But what does it say? The organization is based on the principle of the sovereign equality of all its members. Well, if the Constitution Act of 1900 is here, even though, let's say, it wasn't unlawful, which it was, and it wasn't agreed to, can it be here under the United Nations Charter? No, it can't, because we're all sovereign. Everybody who signed that, who were founding members of the Charter of the United Nations, and Britain and Australia were founding members of it in 1945. Paragraph four.
I'm just laughing at one word, equality.
That's
Yeah,
right.
that's right. I'm not
That's right.
supposed to be under another country's rule,
Sovereign equality.
or
We don't have sovereign.
even other people in our own country.
Yes, that's right. But paragraph four, all members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state, or in any other manner inconsistent with the purpose of the United Nations. Well,
My
how on earth is the Constitution here?
Well, I mean, that's just sticking the middle finger right up at a lot of people. Like that's not how we're operating at all.
That's right,
That's
but
why we say the next line.
I'll let you read that out.
Yeah, all Australian governments, federal and state, are hostile foreign occupiers and are offending international law. They don't want to know about international law when we bring it into the courtrooms. And that's why this evidence is a widespread attack on a civilian population, which is one of their articles, specifically but not limited to the acts of terrorism, torture, slavery, fraud, child abduction, embezzlement, murder, and human trafficking by the Australian governments, offending Article 10 in the League of Nations, and goes on and on about what they're offending. So this again is just a very brief overview of the 150 page full in-depth evidence-based. Every section's got evidence to show that what we're saying is true and correct. It's not just our opinion. It's all evidence-based. Well, it has to be. We're taking it to a court, so it all has to be evidence-based.
So
And here,
basically.
the only hope left is for the sovereign civilians of Australia, or the United Civilians of Sovereign Australia, however you want to say it, is to have international warrants and arrests issued by the ICC and ICJ to directed to the United Nations Security Council, Interpol, and the Australian military and federal police, because the Australian state police are highly corrupted and compromised. Being an extended arm, an extended enforcing arm of the foreign military occupation here. So we are looking for arrests. We're looking for the Australian government to be deemed unlawful so that arrests of the upper echelons can happen. This because they are the terrorists. They're the ones doing not only hate speech, but they're doing hate actions as well against the people here. And some of the evidence that goes on to talk about the Woods Royal Commission and Mulligan Inquiry and how they're protecting their own pedophile gang with suppression or unlawful suppression orders, and extends right up to the Port Arthur massacre, which was one of their government operations and can now be proved good and well.
I just had Paul Motor. I interviewed him just a week or so ago about Port Arthur. And all of this is coming out into the light now. And what
Right.
you're doing, though, now is exposing that it is a criminal cartel. I mean, we were led to believe that the mafia just hung around Italy, right? I mean, criminal cartels operate exactly like the mafia, and they are worldwide. They've infiltrated everywhere, haven't they?
That's right.
But it's the British territorialist regime that is actually the cartel.
Yeah, that's right.
And
So
now
we, we go on to ask for ex-Senator Bill Heffernan. We would like an endorsement for the documents to be produced, and we would like the Mulligan Inquiry and the Woods Royal Commission orders, suppression orders, to be relinquished. Now, there's 100,000 people, I think it was, signed on to another petition that said, "Yep, show us the evidence." There's And as well, we want there's systematic unchecked family abuse and separation, the for-profit child protection racket that's going on here. One of the biggest per capita child snatching regimes in the world we have here, and it's causing horrendous problems in the children who often get fed into these horrible state care facilities. And often end up in things like the Mulligan Inquiry and the Woods Royal Commission. There's no
Well,
protections when they get taken.
I've interviewed Rachel Vaughan, and her father was instrumental in all of this, and
That's right.
she was part of the Mulligan Inquiry, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd love to put it out to her and, the affiliates there too to support this.
So we haven't been shy in saying that stuff. I hope people are brave enough to have a look at this document in full and sign on. Otherwise, I'm sort of saying, well, stop whinging. If you can't even sign on, which will be a will be quite formal at the end. We ask for the banking stuff back, the Alpha Omega Trust, and so we talk about the Alpha Omega Trust, and we ask for immediate arrests.
But not only that, just going back to the Alpha Omega Trust, can I just get you to go
Yeah,
back up there? Actually,
I don't know how much time we got left.
yep.
We've got
But
8 minutes.
yep. Okay. So as the people will potentially know that are watching this, or some of them, You can see the videos where Donna and I serve the banks, and those assets are basically, we've been told by the banks that, oh, we can't find them, they don't exist. But we've got the receipts where they were delivered to them. And so basically, because that Committee of 300 document was signed off by 350 international figures, and they're saying they can't find it. And some of those figures was the full bench of the International Criminal Court and the full bench of the International Court of Justice. We're making an application over there for a court order to have those monies returned because, you know, they have stolen Australia's prosperity by doing so.
Yes. Yes,
Yeah, they have.
And so
Absolutely.
we ask, there's something in this document for everybody. If you've got, you know, home loan stress, then you can sign it. If you've had children taken, you can sign it. If you're just a full-blown freedom fighter, you'll see it all in here. And we want to unite all the groups all in one. We like Donna said, we love the constitutionalists, but you just got to be prepared to leave your door open because there's so much information that comes to light. You don't want to be one of these people that go, I know everything and what I say is correct and that's it,
Yeah, I'm not looking at anything else. Blah, blah, blah.
because at that moment you close the door to becoming, you know, more clever at the argument. And
Yes.
we even shocked ourselves when we've been finding some of this stuff and go, wow, you know, the hole or the bucket of eels is basically so deep you can just keep going down and you just find more tentacles and
It's
more
fraud on fraud,
poison.
isn't it?
It's
Fraud on
fraud on
fraud on
fraud.
fraud on fraud. It's,
Yep. Layers and layers of it.
That's
Absolutely.
why the document, the full affidavits had to be 150 pages, because we're like, okay, well, there's that fraud. And then 20 years later, there's that fraud. And then 5 years later, there's that fraud. And they just keep building fraud on fraud, hoping that we don't notice, but we do
Correct.
notice. And we're
Correct.
now
Burying
calling them out.
it all. Yeah, burying it all and making it difficult for people to put all the pieces together.
So what Donna's just scrolling past there are the international protections under the Geneva Convention
These are all the protections
and
they'll get.
numerous others. We don't have time to run through them, but when we launch this document, there will be a number of
Forced upon them.
interviews being done to say to everybody, right, go to the web page because the web page is not built yet. We're about a week away. Might be 10 days away, but we're about that time. And then we can put this document up finalized. But we just wanted to get it out there so people can start getting their heads around what we're trying to do. And we're not saying we want to be government. The government in the future has got to be a meritocracy and remove the kakistocracy. And if people don't know what that word means, and they need to look it up, kakistocracy. But if we want a meritocracy, we've got the best people in play doing their job. And it's not like now, oh, you've got the police minister, he goes and bees the housing minister, and then that same minister, he goes and does something else. But they're all Mason children and they're all Mason bloodlines, all these people. So we don't want people who are unskilled. Like, how many people in Parliament, and there'd be a couple that have actually got commercial skills out in the community to see how this crazy system works that is just tax on tax on tax on tax. I read something the other day, we are taxed roughly about 90 or 95%, some number like that. And it's just nuts, especially when we're selling all of our resources and the community getting nothing. In Saudi Arabia, everybody gets a big check and look at their place over there. It's abundant. But we don't get it here because these rotten politicians, like the one that gave away our $150 billion worth of gas for
Oh.
$2 billion. I did the sums on that, and that's 6,000 to 8,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. But he goes and quits Parliament after he's given it away and goes and works for that firm that he's given it away to.
Well,
And
because I
what?
think that when they've got portfolios as well, I watched it when the budget was coming out and the finance minister, right? I can't remember her name right now, but I realized that they all are playing a game and they know their roles in the game. And she knew that she was going to come up out with a shitty budget and she knew she was going to get crucified by the people. But I could kind of imagine them in the background going, all right, it's your turn to get up there. They're going to hate you. You got to play the game. We're gonna put you out front so that people throw stones at you, but you're gonna, we'll give you money to do that, we'll give you extra bonuses, and then we'll move you to a new portfolio or whatever.
Yeah.
So
Well,
it's
then you
like,
can go and retire on a cushy little
I can
job.
just see them laughing at us going, All right, I'll put my hand up. I'll be the bad guy this time, knowing in the background that everyone's supporting her anyway and going, good on you for taking the hits, right? And let's move on.
Well, there are every one of them's compromised. So we did hear stories of a certain premier, and I won't mention his name, that he used to go and take video footage of the people going to either child brothels or just
Right.
normal brothels, however, and then he'd bring them in the office and say, "You're going to sign this act and you're going to present this act." And they'd say, "No, I'm not." And they'd say, "Well, what about this photo? What about if we put you on the news as a pedophile or someone who's committing adultery against your partner and your family, and we'll put that on the front news and say, we'll flush your life out that way." And they just end up signing the document or doing following orders. But as we know, following orders won't release you from what you criminally did.
No.
And look, there's only 65,000 military, 60,000 police in this country or thereabouts, but there's 25 to 30 million Australians. We don't really even know the true census reports because everything is a lie. There is no truth here and
Yes.
everything is fraud. And that is where the voting
The history,
application,
everything,
the
yeah.
blockchain voting application will bring honesty, where everybody will be able to go on there and see, what the numbers were. It'll be live. So as people start voting, they'll be able to see which way things are trending. And the social media side of things on that blockchain voting app can decide the questions. Do we want to
Chat
send it?
amongst themselves, yeah.
Do we want to create a question? And because AI has its place, it's a very smart thing and it can think
Yes.
far quicker than the human can,
Yes.
but it's also been designed to thwart us as well when we put certain things in there to defend itself. But however, the voting blockchain voting system will give us the ability to create new laws very quickly, and there'll be laws for the people, by the people, and you won't be able to get out of it. And when the new government
Transparency.
comes into play, they'll all be swearing affidavits or, attestations to say that they did their job that fortnight before they get paid. And if they didn't do their job, then they're going to do jail time. And that's for all of us as well, because you're dealing with the money from the whole community that affects 25 million people. So if you commit an incremental offense against 25 million people and you add that up, you could do 10 years in jail. And this is why we keep everybody honest. And we've got to pay them the right money. We're not going to pay people, or I shouldn't say we. I'm sure the assembly of the people who end up taking over it won't say, "Well, you just can all get half a million, 3 million, million a year plus all these expenses and all that sort of stuff." It's got to be sensible, and it's got to be decided by a meritocracy, and it's got to be decided by the people.
Well, the truth is that the new world, people will be wealthy to a degree of having their own land, having their own home, and having a sufficient amount of money to live the life that they would love to live.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. This is a pathway to that.
Yeah, but
We've got,
firstly, you've got to be
because
part
we
of.
will need it. We will need a new, we can't keep contracting with them using the fiat currency. So there will be room for a new asset-backed currency that's held to the land bank of this continent known as Australia. There's room for that, and there's room to step off this maritime love affair that many people are stuck in, and
So we've
come
got to.
over to the 5D, which is, I see this as a an opening and a portal even to
Yes.
open the timeline up to a 5D.
Absolutely. We've got
Yeah.
1 minute to go. So what I want to say to people is that they need to be, we got a little bit into what the future can look like, but they need to be a part of the solution right now.
Please do. Yep.
Absolutely.
So
But once again,
UCSA.land,
yes.
UCSA, which is United Civilians of Sovereign Australia dot land, UCSA.land will be the up and coming web page that will have this document on it. It will have an explanation videos on it, and it will have the other full affidavit on it when it's all done. So we're looking for a million signatures to help us go over and restore. And then when we come back, we're happy to hear, everyone's voice will be heard and championed as we press forward to,
And as we
taking this
said,
nation back.
I had a lot of people that had questions on the last interview that we had.
Oh.
And we're going to ask people to direct their questions to that website because there'll be an email that goes with that
There
website.
will be an email there
Because for
eventually,
the, yeah,
yes.
you're ready and you're able or willing to give people those answers. I
Yeah.
just want them to connect directly with you to be able to do that. And
And
corruption.
if they'd like to help, they can write to info@corruptionwhistleblower.com, info@corruptionwhistleblower.com. If they'd like to help or have any kind of input or
Yes.
you know, because we would like one person to get 100 people signed or one person to get 10 people signed, whatever that looks like, you know.
That's
So
correct.
we're not saying this is the be all and the end all. We're just giving it a go like Aussies do, you know what I mean? So
That's a great way to wrap it up. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Look, thank you. We squeezed in as much as we could, right? And let's get it out there. Come on, everybody, be a part of the solution. And Donna and Peter, God bless you and thank you so much.
thank you.
Thank
Thank
you
you
so
all.
much.
Bless all your beautiful viewers. Thank you for them.
Okay.